football on off the ball.
Yeah, I think we needed a big statement home win like that, and I think it was convincing to go. It's never happened in my whole career that I've conceded after 8 seconds. I can't believe we conceded after 8 seconds.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.
Well, you're very welcome along to the Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats partner of the GAA. It's hurling today. What a sport. When Waterford scored that goal, I just remember jumping around the kitchen just thinking, what a game. No particular, like, you know, worries about who won or lost or anything like that, but what a sport. And we get to talk about it in the company of Cork's Rachel Sheehan. That's what you're called now until they lose a game, Rachel, okay?
I don't know if I like that pressure, Mick. Yeah.
Well, look, the big pressure is what's going to happen on page two of the Power Rankings today, because will Cork, they've won their first two games, brilliant. They've exercised the ghosts of the All-Ireland final, but can they reach the top of the Power Rankings? That will be up to one Will O'Callaghan, the king of the hurling Power Rankings. Will, how you doing?
Hello, Michael. I believe Rachel and I are in dispute over who should be top of the Power Rankings, but I think I'm allowed officially kind of pull rank and actually make the decision on who's top, can't I?
Yeah, well, they're your Power Rankings, so you will ultimately decide, but we'll have no Corky erroring in this side of things. You know, talk about going against hype. This whole county at the moment, just this like absolute aversion to hype and all. What the hell is going on there?
Is that kind of last year, Rachel, is it?
We suffered enough last year, and we were just having a good time last year. We were just enjoying the wins, scoring goals, celebrating goals, people going to matches, like you said, Mick, just enjoying the hurling. And everyone came at us for being too cocky, too confident. Some fella got a tattoo, not representing the entire county. And all of a sudden, we all had our hand in that tattoo, and we all had our hand in the Paddy Power odds, and the country turned against us. But we're making sure that this is going to happen this year. And I think we're all being very realistic. Play down the hype.
Yeah. See how that goes now when they win their next two matches heading into a Munster final with 7 points clear of all the other teams in Munster. But there we go. Anyway, we are here every Wednesday for the Hurling Power Rankings with Harvey Norman. Every Tuesday, it's the football with Tommy Rooney. But let's get going, I think, Will, because we've got a good bit to get to. We're going to start, as we always do, with page two and the unfamiliar sight of Kilkenny still on page two. Their absolute hammering of Wexford did not manage to get them up beyond number six in your rankings. They stay where they are. Waterford do not rise either, despite their spirit of comeback. Yeah, gallant draw, whatever way you want to call it, at Walsh Park against Tipperary. Dublin do rise up one, though. Their hammering of Kildare, probably more about Wexford's defeat to Kilkenny, where dropped them down to ninth, Offaly in 10th, and Kildare on 11. Wexford results, lads, very much to me. I was out on Saturday night and I watched about the first 15-20 minutes on my phone, and then had to go into a show and come out of it and saw the scoreline. And it was so unexpected, is what the kind of nearly sad thing about it is. It's sort of what you kind of feel will happen to Wexford. Like, if grand, they will. They'll probably have a day or two out over the course of the Leinster Championship, but this is more likely to happen than the big performances.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think the scoreline is, in this case, very reflective of the game. I think Kilkenny could have even put the hammer down a little bit more in the last 10-15 minutes of the match than they did. I was watching it on GAA Plus, and it was just the openness of Wexford that would have been the most concerning thing if you're a Wexford supporter watching it, whereby Kilkenny looked bereft of ideas in the attack against Galway and Saltill. And I appreciate that they did up their level, and TJ Reid was saying pretty much after the game when he was interviewed that, you know, they listened to everybody writing them off throughout the week, and he said that everyone was entitled to do so with the way that that they'd performed against Galway and that they needed a response and to show some character. And they did. And some of their key forwards stood up in a way that they weren't able to do the week before. I thought Mossy Keown was excellent. He got 2-3 from play during the game. Beautiful dummy for his goal. TJ himself, again, was impressive, but he had a supporting cast around him this week, which he didn't have the week before. So that's the reason you have summed it up beautifully. While Kilkenny have not risen, because I have to take Wexford's performance into context. There was a severe lack of fight, and there was almost an acceptance once they went behind in the game that they weren't going to get back into it, which I think had to be disappointing, because I'm sure there were some people in Wexford who would have felt got a decent result against Kildare the first week. Kilkenny look a little bit vulnerable coming out of the back of the Galway performance. Wexford have got a good record of beating them 3 times in recent seasons, have generally got a good head to head when it comes to this fixture in the round robin era of the Leinster Championship, and yet they kind of didn't land a punch at the weekend. So I thought they were very, very disappointing. And I think for Wexford, if they don't up their standards, particularly against both Dublin and Offaly in the upcoming games, they're not going to finish in the top three, and that explains exactly why we've moved Dublin up. I don't think it's based on Dublin's performance against Kildare. This is more based on the way that Wexford performed or didn't perform against Kilkenny at Nolan Park.
Yeah, and Offaly lived with Galway for, 65 minutes, 62, 63 minutes of the game in, and certainly as much as Kilkenny did. Anyway, so there has to be something in the back of Wexford's minds to say that that game is not a given either.
Yeah, and like last year, Offaly gave Wexford an absolute fright in Wexford Park, and Wexford were probably lucky enough to get a few scores towards the end of the game to come out on top this time last season. And they're going to go to Tullamore in a few weeks' time, and Offaly will be looking at that fixture as a huge opportunity. I think there's no reason that Offaly couldn't be looking at getting to 5 points now and getting wins against Wexford and against Kildare. And who knows how good 5 points is going to look in the table at the end of it. I don't expect them to get a result against Kilkenny after the break in 2 weeks' time, but they should really be targeting their next home game against Wexford after that, because as you mentioned, Offaly kind of never really got closer in the second half than 3 or 4 points, even after the goal went in from Oisin Kelly. The thing that probably killed Offaly at the weekend was that at half time they were 3 points down to Galway, with Galway having played against a strong wind. It was almost a direct mirroring of what happened in their league game in Burr a couple of months ago as well, and then Galway were able to power home in the end. Again, Rory Burke is just in tremendous form, and Conor Cooney off the bench to put in the second goal. So from Galway's point of view, I think they won't be too concerned that this performance wasn't reaching the heights of the Kilkenny game. The most important thing for them was to get 2 wins from 2, and already at this point they look really well set for a Leinster final.
Any gripes?
Is that twice in a row now that Galway have opted to play against the Breeze in Salt Hill?
You're right. Did the same in the Kilkenny game. So they know the wind in Fitzgerald Stadium better than anyone, Rachel. And if you listen to James Cahill or some other ex-Galway players, they say it's one of the worst venues to play in when you are playing against the wind. So the wind comes off the sea and you don't want to be playing against it. But obviously, Micheál Donoghue's side have made the right decision and kicked home second half in both games.
I want to correct you by saying it's not called Fitzgerald Stadium, but I can't bloody think what it is called.
Pierce Stadium.
Why have I called it Fitzgerald Stadium? I'm getting my West Coast mixed up.
I was completely wrong. I think of Salt Hill. Yeah, yeah. There's Pierce Stadium. Will, Pierce for Stadium, God's course, sake. Yeah. Right. Any gripes with page one, Rachel?
No. I think the bones of contention will come in page two.
Fair enough. All right. Well, Waterford, before we do leave it though, are winners this week, I suppose. If they didn't win the match, they won our Harvey Norman stat of the week, Will.
Yeah, this is the Liam Cahill one, which is quite remarkable. I have to give Jordan Norris, who had his match report in a few different places yesterday, who brought this one up, and it stood out for me when I was reading the game. So we got to full time. I said, right, I'm going to read through the reports and see what sense people are trying to make of that second half, where Waterford were 11 points down, came back, Tip still found themselves a couple of points up in injury time. When they went 3 up, you thought, okay, Tipperary have turned this over, and the narrative is going to be, well, they've held on and they've got a win at Walsh Park, and Tip are now in a decent position to qualify. And then Kevin Manny bangs in that goal with the ultimate drama at the end of the game. And Jordan Norris obviously went back through the record books to check the last time the Tipperary had won at Walsh Park in the Championship. And I do appreciate there were the works there for a couple of seasons. You didn't always have games in home and away venues because of the nature of, you know, knockout members in neutral venues. Yeah, but let's just take the stat for what it is. The last time the Tipperary won in Championship away to Waterford was in June of 1996, and the top scorer for Tipperary that day was Liam Cahill, the current Tipperary manager and the former Waterford manager. So nice little bit of symmetry there.
Absolutely. I think that the Liam Cahill part of it is brilliant, right, obviously. But take the 96 out of it, because honestly, Waterford played all their games basically up until the round robins away from Walsh Park, right? Then they had the couple of the thurless years during the reconstruction, but at the same time, Tip are playing them every second year away from home for the last, what, so the, that must be their third time there. The fact that they haven't beaten them when Waterford have won so few games in the Munster Championship is kind of remarkable, and I think is a worrying enough thing for Tip. More worrying for Tip as we go to page one and we'll see them, or page two, whatever it is, I don't know, the top five, we'll see them still in fifth place. They don't drop below Kilkenny despite their performance, but there was no chance of them getting ahead of Clare or Galway this week. Tip were coasting. Like, it was one of those games where you're almost annoyed with Waterford for like putting in such a good performance in Ennis and then not showing up the following week, and that's kind of been the story of them for a while. And it was 11 points at halftime. Could have been a lot more. Once Tip got that goal in the first half, you felt the match was over. And there's a good discussion in how Waterford did it, and fair play to them, but Tip did not hurl at all in the second half. They could not win a ball for about a 20-minute period in the middle of the half. This is not the form of All-Ireland champions. If you look at that game yesterday, I would say, right, you probably had two players, you would say, that probably played up to what you would expect. Everybody else played grand or badly. Like, I'd be very, very worried. Not just the results, because they've a lot to do now, and they've got Limerick and Clare in their last two matches and probably need something from both games. So that's concerning. But even just, how are you going to turn it around form-wise?
Yeah, and like, I think they left so many chances behind them, which is concerning in and of itself. And I agree with your point. No, totally. But I would agree with your point, though, that they basically got taken over around the middle of the field in the second half of that game. And that would be really concerning from Tipperary's perspective when they were so on top in the first half. And I just think, yeah, like, I mean, Nolan had a wonderful game in goal for Waterford. He made some incredible saves, not just the penalty, but the really good save on the ground with his foot from John McGrath as well, where if Tipperary put the ball in the net there, maybe then the lead stretches out enough for them to be comfortable. But you never really felt in that second half, particularly when Waterford had started as strongly as they did after the break, that Tipperary looked comfortable. And then they became remarkably uncomfortable, rallied a little bit. And even when they were 3 points up, you would have thought, okay, surely All-Ireland champions will be able to defend the inevitable long ball that's about to be poked in. And again, it was a really good ball in around the square. The chance is taken, and now we're talking about a Waterford draw as opposed to Tipperary holding on and being able to stop, I think, the leaks in the dam, was the way Liam Cahill put it after the game. The reality is that Tipperary didn't do that, and Tipperary didn't exercise the control that we expected. Didn't see that against Cork either. And I'm with you. I mean, obviously, they've got a bit of work now on their break week to do, but they've got a difficult last couple of fixtures coming around because, you know, Limerick are desperately going to need a result against them. And as you say, Clare could be in a really strong position depending on what happens in the game this weekend in Ennis. But it's an uphill task, I think, for Tipperary to qualify at this stage. And maybe last week I was too quick to write off Patrick Horgan being right in saying that Tipperary were going to be All-Ireland champions and knocked out a bit like Clare the year before in the group stages. At the moment, I think they're odds against to qualify.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I think they're still creating those chances, and when you're coasting like that away from home, Waterford are always going to come back, especially like that, you know. And I think we saw towards the very end they didn't completely lose control of the game. You know, when Waterford came back and went ahead, it's not like Tip completely buckled. Like, I know the goal was poor to give away, but they took control of the last like 5 minutes of the game. And it's like, it's a change in 1 minute then. And you're saying, oh, we got away with that. We'll learn from it. I think Tip have performed very poorly twice now, and they've only just barely been beaten and they've drawn. So it's not like they're completely off the mark. Well, I'd love to get your thoughts on Ozzie Gleeson's quick free. From a neutral's point of view, it's easy to say that it's so exciting to see someone like him in the pitch because he'll do something like that. I know, obviously, if it's your own team, you're going crazy, but if he pulls that quick free off and they get a goal, Waterford win that game, I think. You know,
I think, Rachel, you got Stephen Bennett. You got one of the best free takers in the country who's in remarkable form. He's like probably even in all-star contention after two games that Waterford haven't won, with the way that he's been performing individually in these two matches. He's strolling over to take that free, and Ozzie Gleeson decides to flick it forward in at best a 50-50 chance of something coming off the back of it. I just think when the game is that tight, were they two down, I think, when that ball was about to be placed? You stick the ball over the bar, you try and win the puck out, and you get back level again.
I always think it's like, trust your instinct on that one. Like, when they won that free, you went, right, one down. And you're kind of thinking, right, 30 seconds has got to pass, but they're a point down now. Let's see what happens with the next puck out. And when he hit it, everybody in the country just went, oh, what are you doing? But I know what you mean. There's a bit of magic. We'll talk about another kind of decision in a minute that was made that was a bit surprising that did pay off for a team. But yeah, Tip, I Rachel makes a fair point that they've 1 point from two terrible performances, and Cork, who are runaway favourites for the All-Ireland and are basically all but All-Ireland champions already, as we all discussed already, did barely beat them as well in the end, only by 4 points. So, yeah, Tip, I suppose, will have that to hang on to, but I just would be concerned about how they're playing. They got control of a game. The other thing is, and they're number seven there in a non-moved position in the power rankings, I don't think anybody knows what to make of Waterford, because in the first half, I'm on Claire text message saying, we're shit. Like, how the hell did we barely, you know, concede 3-11 to Stephen Bennett and, you know, a goal every time Waterford went up the end? And then you saw in the second half what they can do and how dangerous they can be and how they can get a goal out of nowhere. And then you feel a little bit better as a Clare fan after watching the second half, like as you head into next week. So we don't know what to make of Waterford, and I suppose that'll all be revealed. But Will's the only person that has to worry about that, about seeing the future when he does his rankings. So let's see page two again, because we ignored the headline. There is a change. Dun, dun, dun. Limerick have been shunted off the top of the rankings. They have been replaced by Cork. Easy enough decision, Will.
I genuinely think this is, by the way. So Limerick have now lost four games in a row in Championship, and I'm not having it that they drew and lost in penalties. The reality is they've now lost four games in a row in the Championship. They showed during the league.
But they did draw.
How good a team they still are, but they lost in penalties. All right, how's about this? They failed to win their last four Championship games. Do you want to accept that? Okay. You can't but punish them for this. So they come up against who we ranked as the second best team, the two teams who are the best form coming out of the league, and Cork have won a head-to-head encounter and have again taken down Limerick in the Championship. As a result, Cork have to go to the top. Now, I appreciate what's going to be argued against now in the moment is the bad news that came through on Monday, and I do appreciate this is really bad for Cork, that Kieran Joyce had just become the player who was about to cover number three. He looked quite comfortable in those two games. It's not that Cal landed badly when he came on at the weekend, but the reality is he was being assigned a key position on that team. He picks up an ACL injury, is out for the rest of the season, which is a real pity because he was fitting in there very nicely indeed. And I thought that Rob Downey was one of Cork's best performers in the first two games. I thought, again, he was excellent at the weekend against Limerick, both in terms of anchoring the defence, the way that he comes out with the ball, and some of those kind of rampaging runs that he makes up the field as well. For him to be out for 2 months with an ankle injury as well, or we're thinking maybe 6 weeks was the report coming out of the Cork hurling camp, the reality is that Cork are going to go into some key games, potentially into a provincial final, without their fullback and without their centre back. This is going to be a big test of the strength and depth that they have in their defence. The only real question mark we probably had about Cork coming into the season were the way that maybe they defend in the full back line and whether they've got enough cover across the defence if one or two players are out. Well, the worst thing that could have possibly happened is that they lose their two key defenders this early on in the season, and particularly when you know the choice isn't going to be coming back in. So does that mean that Owen Downey now has to go to three when the half back line was operating really well the last two games? That's a big shift. But based on the performance at the weekend and based on what Cork have done so far, I don't think anyone can argue against me, hype, no hype, whatever else, putting them ahead of Limerick at the top of the table.
You're all right with that, Rachel?
Yeah, I just, after, to be fair to Will, he made those shouts before all the injury news came in. And then when I saw that this morning, first of all, I just got it for Kieran Joyce. Like, that's awful, you know, season ending. He played so well last week, just, you know, on a personal basis, so disappointed for him. But to lose him and Rob Downey just wouldn't fill you with hope. Obviously, it was an unbelievable game at the weekend. But in the same vein as Tipperary, Limerick were really poor and they only just about missed out. Like, I'd still be very, very cautious of them. Like, they had some, especially Marcy had almost two identical really poor wides in a row there in the second half when they could have pulled away, and it was an incredible win. But like, when Cork get that second goal, Patrick Collins is about 1 millimetre away from being hooked by Peter Casey and the ball is in the net at the other end, and Limerick just didn't seem to perform that well at all. Like, the first 15 minutes was Limerick at their best, and they were so much better than Cork. Like,
I think you're not giving Cork enough credit there, being honest. I think Limerick did have a poor second half, I would say, and then obviously as soon as the red card happens, that's compounded its Cork's game to control from there on in. I thought it was a really high quality first half. Cork had to kind of catch up with Limerick as they did in the league final. They did it much quicker this time. They adapted better, and I thought played very well to kind of go in. You know, I don't know what were the two down, one down, but it was like
they were
in it, like, you know, very, very in it. But I thought Limerick were brilliant in the first half, and it felt like old Limerick. And you know, you had Hayes and Burns dominating. You had like the forwards all chipping in, a huge work rate from the forwards, I thought was impressive, and is something to kind of watch out for if you're looking for signs as to whether Limerick are there or not this year. I thought the forwards, as you mentioned, Peter Casey nearly hooking Collins that time. But I would have to say there's a frailty in that full back line. I don't know who it is, Will, or like if it's an individual thing or a setup thing or something like that, but you're looking at that thinking they can be got at. And that's not what you would associate historically with Limerick. And then they did fade out of the game, and you have to ask questions as to why that is as well, even outside of the red card. Cork were on top at that stage, and you kind of felt like Limerick had to turn it on again at the very least, and it never happened. So I think there's a lot of question marks. And if you look at Limerick then heading into next week, we're talking about Joyce and Downey being out. No Galan, no Keane Lynch. It's an interesting one. I think Dara Donovan will make a positive impact for Limerick next week, in that I think what Clare don't want is quick ball in constantly. Clare will be happy enough with them running around in midfield and taking pot shots. They don't want quick ball in, and that's all Dara Donovan will do. So, and Peter Casey played well, but what's coming after that? Like, you know, you need 20 lads rather than 15 as well. So I just have so many question marks about Limerick. I think they're nailed on number two. I think your rankings this week, strangely, aren't that complicated or controversial. But it's what happens next, I think, is just so intriguing. Like,
yeah. So they're going to play against Clare without two hurler of the year quality players. Like, that is just
two literal former hurlers of the year. Yeah.
Like we saw at the weekend, it's not that Limerick didn't perform well in their forward line without Galan, but they didn't have that, what I would call the Galan style option into the forward line. And again, like, O'Brien did quite well. I thought Callaghan got a better handle on him after a while after he came on, but when he got space, he looked really, really dangerous. I thought Peter Casey scored some wonderful points, particularly that one he scored over on the sand side from the touchline was an incredible score. So again, he just reminded you of what he does when he comes in for Galan in this case. But I'd agree with you defensively, particularly when Cork got the ball over the green wall, as they call it, of that half back line, which they did quite cleverly with some of the diagonal balls that they were playing into the corners. And you've got someone like Hayes who's got that physical presence as well. Clare are really good at retaining ball when it's poked into their forward line. We've spoken about how, you know, lethal their forwards can be. And if it's like, if Duggan, Shane O'Donnell, some of these guys who are brilliant at, you know, catching their own ball and making space for themselves, they can definitely cause problems for this Limerick defence in a similar way to Cork did at the weekend just gone by. And then it's just a case of, will Limerick have enough at the other end? I mean, I saw John Kiely saying it was a tremendous performance, and I can appreciate how they dug in, particularly if you're going to be playing 20 plus minutes a man down and being without your captain and being without the guy who was pulling the strings really in the first half for Limerick and Keane Lynch. It's a totally different challenge when you see them going to Clare now, where Clare have got a chance not just to put themselves into the top three guaranteed and pretty much on the cusp of a Munster final, but also they can put a huge nail into Limerick's potential coffin if they were to win that game, because it would put huge pressure on Limerick going into the last two fixtures. I'm not sure, because I've only heard, obviously, that Aaron Galan picked up that injury in training and the timeline seemed to be 2 to 3 weeks. I don't know if Galan is back for the last two matches. He's certainly going to miss the weekend. He could be. So that would be a boost. And obviously, then you're talking about Keane Lynch coming back in. But as much as Anthony Daly's tried to play it off in the live coverage yesterday, he said to Joanne, oh, maybe this puts a weird pressure on Clare now, the fact that Limerick know they're without two of their best players. No. Limerick are without two of their best players, and that puts a pressure on them being without two key members of their team.
Sure, Clare could have 12 injuries and we wouldn't know until the team is named on Thursday night anyway. That's the way things are. Nobody knows anything down there. That's the problem at the moment. But a nail in their potential coffin indeed, Will. I enjoyed that phrase. That was good.
A potential coffin, yes.
Before we go, Hawkeye moment of the week. Rachel, you've been looking at this one. This is the close call that got the country talking. It's probably the reason that despite having 14 men and despite probably being out of the game, that Limerick were in it until the very end. It was, you're going for Dermot Burns' choice to go for goal.
Yeah, from the free, and the free actually, interestingly enough, I'm sure was brought up for dissent. So that's something that Cork will have to look at. You know, we saw Liam Cahill being pulled up for it last weekend. It's probably still just absolute reflex to give the bit of shout and bite the tongue. And it was even obvious. I was in the Black Rock Terrace, so looking at it from this point of view, you could nearly see Kylie from all the way up there saying, like, over the bar, Paul Kinnerk behind him saying over the bar as well. And the almost the antithesis to what happened in Waterford. He goes for goal, they get the goal, but everyone's thinking, surely he's just going to tap this over the bar. You know, there's only 2 points in it. There's definitely going to be a lot of injury time, but Dermot Burns goes for goal, and myself and Will were chatting beforehand. I know they spoke about it last night as well, as to whether Dermot Burns took it upon himself just to go for goal and Kylie was telling him to put it over the bar, or that's a pre-planned move in the Limerick camp, and when they see something that obvious that he knows he should be going for goal.
It was Rob Downey's injury as well, so there was a big gap between and it was a kind of a worrying injury as well at the time. Thankfully it's not too bad, but big gap, and Burns came up kind of halfway through it, I think, or maybe even after it. So I think the decision was made slowly, and I like it because it shows as well, like, in retrospect, you realise Limerick never scored again. I think they knew they had. I think they knew they needed to get something out of it, you know what I mean? And to have any chance of holding on in the end. So an interesting one. Ultimately, he mishits it, which is the reason he scores it.
Yeah, it was bad from Cork not to block it. And maybe that was, I don't know whether you can put it down to the fact they expected. Like, I totally expected blasting operations when I saw Dermot Burns strolling up to hit the free. Because I kind of thought if he's coming up this type of close range, he's the guy who's going to be your...
He didn't take it till late, though.
No, was, I know, it, yeah, I know.
What's his name was lined
up. O'Connor was standing around at first, and then eventually he ends up going to hit it. But the minute I'd see Burns addressing the ball, I'd be assuming you're going low. You wouldn't be bringing him forward. You'd use him for the longer range freeze, but I wouldn't have thought you'd bring him forward to hit that if not. It's a bit like when a goalkeeper comes running out for a close range free. You know it's going to be shot at goal as opposed to being shot over the bar. But yeah, I mean, Cork should have defended better. It is interesting, though, if it was mind games in place and you've Kinnerk and Kylie in the theatrical way they did it, which I'm sure, again, in the noise of Porky Queeve yesterday, maybe they felt they had to be over the top to go, Dermot, no, put it over and we'll win the puck out. But yeah, I don't know, maybe it was a bluff and a double bluff, but ultimately maybe the key is you can almost strike a ball too well and it will get saved. In this case, he scuffs it and it ends up going into the net.
All right, the Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. Are Cork going to move off the top of the Power Rankings between now and the end of July, Rachel?
Oh, Mick, I'm not saying anything. No.
I'm going to do well by
my county there.
Going to need this hype train going. Will, what do you reckon? They're staying on top, are they?
Staying on top for now. And at the moment, I think for now, yeah. Well, look, I mean, unfortunately, we have to change the rankings. We have to change the rankings every week.
I'm just saying your prediction.
Don't tune in next week, Mick, because we might not change the rankings. Cork are going to be there till the end of the summer. Look, at the moment, there's what? At least 3 All-Ireland contenders right now? I got sick in recent years of when we got to a point where it went
3.
Limerick are incredibly impressive. At least 3. So Cork, Limerick, Clare.
Do you have Galway ahead of Clare?
Galway. Well, see, again, that's the Power Rankings at the moment, what Galway have done, which is one of my county stories of the week.
Oh, quickly, week. Yeah, if you have time for it, yeah.
I know, I picked this up from Christy O'Connor, but James Gale had mentioned it last night too. Quite impressive from Galway. So 2018, they beat Kilkenny in all grades, under 20, minor and senior. They beat Kilkenny in the last week in all 3 grades because they beat them in minor on Saturday afternoon as well. So this would indicate, and James Gale knows quite a few of the younger players in Galway, having coached them for the last 2 years with the 20s and was involved with the minors before. He reckons there's another really good group of players coming through. I'm not sure if it's quite going to be Neary, Burke, Aaron Nyland type of quality where they've all slotted straight into the senior team, but by all reports their 20s were really good in the week just gone by as well. So I think Galway, the team to watch out for, and maybe it's an indication as well of the power shift in Leinster that they're now beating Kilkenny at all the grades.
Yeah, when you think of the how young this Galway team is, if there's a big old bunch of underage teams coming through as well, that does spell success for the future. Maybe they'll get on top of the power ranking someday. That could be the ultimate aim, I suppose. Anyway, Will, Rachel, thanks very much. We'll chat next week.
See you then.
Thanks, Mick.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official staff sponsor of the GAA.